Security. Can we get security to the duck pond? Yeah, yeah. We got a problem here. We got another prayer in the duck pond. Yeah. Yeah, they're touching the one-winged ducks again, trying to heal them. Yeah, can we get just lifetime ban? Get them out of here. Get them out of here. These people think it is so easy. Oh, I'll just pray away your disability. Yeah, no, you don't get to come in here anymore. Get out. Take their life, take their annual passes. Tell them if they want to pray to get a new one, when they get a new one because they prayed, okay, bye-bye. Never ends the audacity of these people. The gates of disabled land are open. I am your humble host, Wes of Disabled Land, and this is Disabled Land here on the Bitching Abolishing Podcast Network. And today, we're going to talk about zombies. We're going to talk about the time I was multiple zombies in a big budget Hollywood style film. But first, I got a little story to tell you. So, two nights ago, as of the recording of this podcast, it was my birthday. It was my 48th birthday, and my best friend decided she wanted to take me out to my favorite highfalutin fancy-ass drinking establishment, which is in Luma at the TIFF Theater here in Toronto. I love y'all. This isn't sponsored, but I love y'all. And we went, and the weather was shitty. The weather was going between rain, snow, and freezing rain. So I knew it was going to be slippery. So I brought my walking stick with me because my balance isn't good on that sort of thing due to the arthrogryposis in the legs. So now not only am I visibly disabled when I walk, but I'm also using a mobility device. Keep this in mind, because for some reason, it's important to the story. Now, also, because it's rainy and slippery, and because I know I'm going to be drinking, I didn't take the kick scooter, the micro scooter, that I tend to ride everywhere, rather than take public transit. I try to avoid public transit like the proverbial plague. Unless the weather is bad, I don't use it. But today, it made sense, so I did it. So on the way down to meet my friend, first of all, I get on the streetcar. And not even 10 seconds onto the streetcar. Now, this was very nice of the guy. Guy shoots up from his seat as I limp my ass onto the streetcar. Guy shoots up from the seat. Oh, here, sit. Now, I don't need the seat, and I don't like sitting right at the front of the streetcar anyway. So I said, no, sir, that's all right. Thank you very much. I very much appreciate it. And I do very much appreciate when someone gets up out of their seat for a disabled person. But it was a over half empty streetcar. It was okay. And I don't like sitting right at the front anyway. But this guy, who I am pretty sure had some sort of disability of his own, which is the only reason why I did not go off on him, follows me back to the middle of the streetcar and gives me all the questions of what happened to you, why are you, know, da 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 da, and he starts explaining his own stuff to me, and I am only understanding every fourth word because I also have my headphones in because I really don't want to be engaging in this conversation, but I'm trying to be polite because he's in the club. He has no tact. He has no, doesn't know when to shut up, but he's in the club. So I'm trying not to go off on this guy. I'm just nodding my head and saying yes and no the way I think it should be. 10 minutes later, I get off that streetcar. I go meet my friend. I spend a couple hours playing with my baby niece at her house. and at the appropriate time, we go out for drinks. Now, the drinks at this place, I like to joke that they must put something extra in them. Because I'm a lightweight as far as a drinker to begin with. But whenever I go to this place, I get hammered. And this is the only place I go to get hammered. So this means, and it's not a cheap place, so this means that I really only get hammered once or twice a year. So after two Manhattans, that according to my bestie have 5 ounces of alcohol in each. So after 10 ounces of some pretty good quality hard liquor in some very well-made Manhattans with some very perfect dark cherries in them, at my favorite place, we head out. And it was last call when we were there, so the kitchen wasn't open, so we couldn't get any tiny burgers or truffle fries or anything like that. But we head out. My friend takes my stumbly, drunken, disabled ass to an A&W and gets me a large order of fries and an apple pie. We take that to go because it's also still trying to rain and stuff. We walk back to her place about a block behind before her place. I say, look, I'm just going to take the streetcar from here. It's just up the street. I am hammered because I have things about people who had drinking problems in my life. I am hammered. I don't want to be around, not that I think I'm a danger or anything, but I don't want to be around the baby when I'm drunk. My nephew from another close friend has seen me drink, has never seen me drunk. So I don't want to be around the baby when I'm drunk. So bestie makes sure I get on the streetcar. I get on the streetcar, heading back, take my ticket. I sit right up at the front this time. And I say to the driver as I get on, this is my stop. I wouldn't normally ask this, but I am hammered and it's slippery. I don't want to have to walk any further than I have to. Can you please just, he had a security door open already and there was a reason for that. So like, can you please just, I will sit right here. Can you please just make sure I don't miss my stop? He's like, okay, no problem. Now, the reason he had a security door open is he had a woman sitting beside him. And that woman shoots up. It's like, oh my God, do you need, she sees the walking stick and she sees my short, disabled ass, drunk as fuck. And she's like, oh my God, do you need help? Do you need help getting you to sit? I'm like, no, I was practically already sitting down at this point. I'm like, no, I can sit. That's no problem. And she's just fawning on me. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'll make sure you don't miss your stop. This woman was trying to pick up the TCC driver. I know because I've seen this before in an earlier life coming back from the bar a lot, but the new security doors are usually closed. But this woman starts to talk to me. And when I tell you that this woman was a no slut shame here whatsoever, that this woman was a, and she told me her age in the process, this woman was a 70-year-old golden girl gilf. Like a 70-year-old Blanche Devereaux golden girl gilf without the southern accent, wearing all white leather that was only slightly more white and leathery than her skin. And nothing wrong with that as well. I'm just giving the description of this golden girl gilf, okay? Golden girl gilf, hot to trot, 70-year-old woman who was trying to pick up the TTC driver. She starts telling me this story about, oh, I lost my husband about 10 years ago, and I am drunk as fuck. I have the mind of a squirrel at this point, okay? I am hammered, okay? I can barely sit up straight. I am hammered. And this woman starts telling me this story about, oh, well, my husband died about 10 years ago of alcoholism, and, you know, he couldn't get any help for that. And I'm thinking, yes, because he was disabled. But he couldn't get any help for that. And then, but he was such a good man. He was such a good man. He used to help people like you. He used to help disableds like you. I'm just like, oh no. See, he was insurance, and he used to help disableds like you get a little extra money. Because, you know, when you've been in a car crash like you and your body is wrecked, you deserve a little money. I'm like, no, ma'am. I don't even know at this point. I don't know why I was trying to talk to her. I don't know why I was engaging with her any more than I had to. I was drunk as fuck. And I'm just like, ma'am, no, that's not what happened. Birth issue. I was born like this. Oh, that's so sad. And it was at this point where sober version of me would have gotten bitchy. But drunk me was fighting so hard to not just hit on this, I kid you not, and I mean this when I say this, 70-year-old hot to trot golden girl gilf who was coming out of a bar she just got kicked out of, and yet seemed surprisingly sober compared to me. So she tells me how tragic it is for people like me and all this stuff, and can she help me get off the streetcar? And in my head, I'm just like, you can help me get off wherever I want. And it's not like this is something I would have done. But it's just, at this point, it's like I have a point to prove. I'm thinking to myself, will you still pity me when I'm pounding that ass? It was so hard to not hit on her in this situation. Luckily, this was only like an 8-minute ride, because if it had gone on any longer, I swear to the cripple gods, I would have tried to take this 70-year-old Blanche Devereaux golden girl gilf in white leather home just to defend the honor of disabled men everywhere. But I was drunk as fuck. And alcohol can affect certain things. And I didn't want her to think, have to, like, maybe pity that too. I told you I was going to tell personal stories on this podcast. But seriously, don't just, like, publicly pity disabled people. You don't know anything about us. I wasn't in pain. I was happy. I was just drunk as fuck. And that was my birthday. But now, for the things, now that I've got that off my chest, of the things that happen on the planet of the Ables and Golden Girl Gilfs, we can begin with the actual content of the episode, Resident Evil. See, one of the jobs I've had as a disabled man throughout my life is I've worked as a background actor. I have worked as a background actor in Toronto for on and off for almost 20 years now. I have worked on things like Repo: The Genetic Opera, George Romero's Land of the Dead. I was on the set of Room. I'm not in Room. And I've worked various TV shows throughout the years and other movies. But today, I want to talk about my experience on Resident Evil 4. Not Resident Evil 3, not Resident Evil 2, but Resident Evil 4. A quick synopsis of this movie, in case you haven't seen it. And this is off the IMDb, IMDb. I always get the V and D mixed up. In a world ravaged by a virus, turning its victims into the undead, Alice continues her journey to find survivors and lead them to safety. Her deadly battle with the Umbrella Corporation reaches new heights, but Alice gets some unexpected help from a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Was it the Golden Girl Gilf? I don't think so. This movie grossed around $300 million worldwide and was the first Resident Evil movie to be shown in IMAX. And I spent 9 or 10 days on the set of this thing, playing various zombies, various disabled zombies. Now, if you don't know what a background actor is, it's kind of like what it sounds like. It's literally the people in the background. So if you've ever seen a movie or a TV show, and there's people having coffee, all the other people in that restaurant are background actors. That's what I've done. That's what I do. It's, most days, it's a fairly easy job, as long as you know, can follow basic directions, shut up and listen, and yeah, it's not hard. It's not a hard job. 90% of it on most days is sitting around waiting to be called to set, and then standing around on set waiting for the scene to start. It's not, as long as you don't mind waiting around and a lot of downtime, it's not a hard job. Most days. I spent 9 or 10 days on Resident Evil 4. I played multiple zombies because they were just recycling this. There was probably 70 background actors throughout the week. And they were just recycling zombies. So sometimes I would be a zombie just way in the back with like black chalk and crap all over my face and blood on the shirt that they gave me. This shirt, by the way, was so coated with fake blood that on the 8th day, now the blood that they use is mostly corn syrup based. Well, this shirt was so coated in sugar-based blood that it cracked like a piece of plastic would crack, and the fabric actually broke. As if you had like frozen a shirt in ice and went snap, it did that. It was a dirty, filthy, fake, bloody week. Some of the things that happened in that week was I got food poisoning and missed a day at work for that. So it was 9 days. It was supposed to be 10 days. I got food poisoning and missed a day of work for that, because I didn't know if it was food poisoning or if it was a stomach virus. And I certainly didn't want to go to set with a stomach virus and risk making the star Mila Jovovich or any other background actor sick. So I didn't go that day. My agent was not happy with me, but things, if you're throwing up on the way to set, you and you weren't drinking that night, you probably shouldn't go to set. I wish other people would learn this. So I played multiple zombies just covered in paint, essentially, for like way in the back. I played a couple zombies with really bad rubber masks. And ironically enough, this is how I actually end up on camera in Resident Evil 4. Bad, heavy, like custom made, but not much better than like a rubber Halloween mask. over my face, like literally with an elastic band on the back of it, like pulling it on. Like those ones you see at like a Dollar Tree or Dollarama, depending where you live. With like very, very little eyesight. So one of the really fun things I got to do on set, because we're going to talk about how safe Resident Evil sets are in towards the end of this, but one of the fun things I got to do on set, and strangely enough, how I end up on camera on that movie, on film in that movie, is I am my limpy, gimpy, knees that do not knee, hips that do not hip properly, arthrogryposis body, wearing a rubber mask that is not well constructed, so I can only see out of one eye hole, really, am walking across on a closed, like, soundstage, walking across a set with a bunch of other people stumbling around me, where there is literally fire on the ground, chunks of like burning stuff on the ground because there has been an explosion. Mila Jovovich has like blown up a helicopter on the roof of this building and all the stuff has like caved in and fallen down. And there is like just hunks of fire on the ground, which is basically flammable gel, napalmish like, not as strong as napalm, but napalmish like flammable gel poured on things to burn, or like actual little like propane fires set up in certain areas to burn. And there's mist and stuff, and I am stumbling through this, not being able to see really, really clearly with all this other debris around. That's one of the things I got to do on set. One of the other things I got to do on set was get crushed in a crowd of zombies while we were trying to push a gate through. The exciting life of a background actor is an exciting life indeed. Brenda, what are you doing off Medical Mama Bear Mountain? This isn't your lunch break. Oh, you're just having to update your social media real quick. Okay, it's not another photo of your disabled child on the toilet, is it? Of course it is. Brenda, have we not talked about this? Okay, wait, no, do not get uppity with me. I am not shaming you. I'm trying to protect your child's privacy. No. How many cups have you drank today? I thought we switched to decaf. Yeah, I know. You don't have to listen to disabled people. You don't even know any disabled people, right? What about your child? Oh, no, they're special needs, right? Swear to God, one of these days, I'm just going to take a baseball bat. Hey, look, Brenda? I'm giving you the rest of the day off. No, you're not fired. I'm giving you the rest of the day off. If you don't want to listen to disabled people, that's cool. You're taking the rest of the day off, but I'm giving you an assignment. You, since you don't want to listen to disabled people, you are going to go and listen to the Bitching and Bossing podcast with Courtney and Brittany. That's right. They're two medical parents, just like you. Well, not just like you, but they're two medical parents with all the same problems and struggles that you have. Yeah, and they have a podcast, and you know what they do? They talk about the issues with special education. They talk about NICU trauma and birth trauma. They talk about all those things. And I think it would be really good for you to listen to, because they also listen to disabled people and adapt their ideas so that they can raise their children better. So yeah, you just go take the rest of the day. We'll shut Medical Mama Bear Mountain down. No one really likes that ride anyway. No, I'm not shaming you. You go listen, get a hot bath, a cup of decaf, and listen to Bitching and Bollocking with Courtney and Brittany. You can get it wherever people get this podcast. Oh, you didn't know this is a podcast? Oh, you never consented to being on a podcast. Just like your disabled child never consented to toilet photos or your entire Instagram account? Yeah, that's what I thought. And I told you I got food poisoning. Well, this leads into the only time I've ever been in a heated argument on set. The actual only time I've ever been in an argument on set in the on and off 20 years that I've worked on set and probably 50 different sets that I've been on. The only time I have ever gotten in an argument with someone on set. Because here's the thing about set. Shit rolls downhill. Directors yell at assistant directors who yell at the people below them. If you've ever seen the video or seen or heard the video of Batman, what is his name? Christian Bale, after I pause to check. Have you ever seen the Christian Bale video or audio where he freaks out and he's like, "What don't you fucking understand?" That doesn't surprise me at all, because it is, people are under a lot of pressure, and it's not easy to piss someone off on set. So, as a background actor who is basically almost at the bottom of the barrel, you learn to just keep your head down sometimes, shut up and do your job, and shutting up and doing your job is part of the job. Except in dangerous situations, which I will also get into, and is probably why I should have said something when I was walking through flaming wreckage with only a mask so I could only see out of one eye. I would not do that now. I was younger then. I was a little more mobile then. But so, the day after I came back from food poisoning, I am in line at lunch. And lunch is, at the time, it seems to be better now, but at the time, it was always a catering service, and it was, they were catering for 80 people every day, and it was somewhere around low-quality airplane food. There are a lot of mass-roasted chicken legs, a lot of green salads, a lot of Costco Price Club bulk fruit salads, things that are not necessarily all that great. Sometimes it's good depending on the production, and sometimes it is pretty low quality. This was a low quality food production. I have a little thing. I like to joke. If the background craft services table has Granny Smith apples, it's going to be a good day on set because they actually care about their background. If it is just the standard cheap Red Delicious, it might be a crappy day. So anyway, the food on this set was not great. And all the background had been eating it for 6 days at this point, except for me who had food poisoning, so this was my fifth day. And the guy ahead of me in line, hedging his bets on what would be better, took a spoonful of the meat pasta, which is probably three levels below Chef Boyardee, because it has been sitting for hours reheated, and you know what pasta gets like if you just let it sit in the sauce forever. Basically, it becomes muck. He took some of the meat pasta, and he then went for a spoonful of the vegetarian option pasta, because you never know which one is going to end up being less crappy. So I've taken both before. This guy took both, and this guy was new, clearly had not done a lot of set stuff. So I'm standing there in line, and the guy, the caterer guy, starts freaking out on this kid, yelling at him, saying, "You can't take both, you can't take both, there's not enough for everybody." Now, everyone was taking two scoops of pasta. This guy took one scoop of each, okay? And I guarantee he was not the first person to do that this day. But this guy just flips out, and I'm sitting there watching this, and then finally the caterer makes a threat to the background actor. Now, by this point, I had been doing this for almost 10 years, and I had never seen this before. And I am not saying, I talked about shit rolling downhill. I am not saying that catering is less important than background. I'm not saying that they are lower than background. I try to never treat anyone like they are lower than me in most things that I do, and certainly not on background. Everyone has their role. I try to respect everybody. But this guy made a threat, and I didn't like that. And I had the kind of seniority and had never had any problems on set before, so I figured I was probably good. So I spoke up, and I was like, look, motherfucker, I got food poisoning from you the other day and missed a day of work. Now, you want to threaten one of us when we've been eating this shit all fucking week? You want to tell us, like, which one we can take, and, you know, we can't try both to see what tastes better? No. You back the fuck down. And if you want to make a fucking threat to me and see what happens. Now, keep in mind, at this point, I am a 4'10" cripple. 4'10" disabled man walking with a heavy limp. I am covered head to toe in filth and fake blood from the makeup from this dirty ass zombie movie. They were using stuff that was like talcum powder or baby powder, but it was dyed black. I had it in my ears. I had it in my nose. It got to the point where after I barely bothered showering when I went home because I knew I was going back the next day. I wasn't going to get clean anyway. So I didn't do heavy cleanings in between days after like the second day because there was no point in trying to get it all off. So I'm just like, and this guy's looking at me in like just shock. And the poor other background guy is like, holy shit. I'm saying, look, motherfucker, you want to make fucking threats? Make a fucking threat to me. See what fucking happens. Just watch. See what fucking happens. Now, as happens in most of those situations, the guy backs down. The background guy gets his food. I get my food. I go sit down. I eat what little of it is edible. About an hour later, one of the ADs, who is basically the handler for background, or basically their handlers, their, I don't want to say errand boys, but they do whatever needs to be done on set, comes up to me and was like, Wes, I heard there was an incident. Like, what happened? And I explained the situation. I explained to what happened. I said, like, look, the caterer made a threat to that guy over there. I am willing to eat shit. I get that the job involves eating shit from a lot of people. I get that you eat shit from a lot of people. I get that that's the job. And I am fully prepared to eat shit from a lot of people. I am not going to eat shit from the caterer when he's serving us crappy food and making threats to people. So yeah, I told him to make a threat to me and watch what happened. He decided not to, so he didn't see what happened. If that means you have to throw me off of this set, I understand. If that means I never work on another set, I get it. I knew that wouldn't happen, by the way. But like, everyone knows me. I have a good reputation on set. I've had a good reputation for years. There's only so much I'm going to put up with. And they're like, okay, understandable. Long story short, next day there was a different catering company. And the food was at least better. Because yeah, a disabled man has his pride, and a disabled man does not like bullies. And I wasn't going to sit back and watch someone else get bullied when they just were too new and didn't know how things worked. Now, you might think that's the funny story. you might think that getting food poisoning and or food poisoning was the bad story. You might think that me, little 4'10" boy, threatening a guy is the funny story. But no. Let me tell you about the best and worst day, the best and worst experience I have probably ever had on a film set. So, it was, I'm pretty sure, the last day on Resident Evil 4 for me, after many, many days of being dirty and gross and eating bad food. I'm pretty sure this was the final day, even if I didn't know it was the final day. That morning, we get there, and I get picked to be a hero zombie. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means a zombie that is like right up front on camera. You are getting the ultimate makeup job. You are getting full prosthetics, full makeup, an actual VFX artist who is with the production isn't just going to be painting you green and throwing black dust on you. No. You are getting the full zombie treatment. This is like a life dream for me, okay? To be like an actual full made up, I wish you could see what my hands are doing, a full made up zombie in a major zombie movie. And like, to be able to possibly see myself on the big screen like that. So I am jazzed. I am so happy. They say, okay, we're going to take you to your trailer. I get a trailer. Now, it's like a little room in like one of those trailers. But still, I have a chair. I have a bed. I can lay down and take a little nap if I want. This has never happened to me on set before. And has only happened to me once on set since. I am living the sweet life of Zach and Cody right now, okay? And then they tell me something that no one had ever told me before up to that point. You can go to the craft truck. You can go to the craft truck. Now, if you don't know anything about film set, this is like you can go see the Wizard of Oz, okay? The craft truck on that set was the same craft truck that the director could go to, that the stars of the film could go to. It was where the good food was. So I go to the craft truck and I get a little thing of fresh chicken noodle soup, and they've got like a candy machine there that like you turn the thing and it drops out gummy bears or Skittles and jelly beans. So I get like a little like coffee cup full of various candies. I get some cookies, all kinds of stuff. I take it back to my trailer. I have a little snack. About an hour and a half later, I get sent for. They take me to my wardrobe. I get my wardrobe. They take me to the makeup truck, and I get my makeup done. Like an hour and a half makeup job done. Full zombification. It was incredible. I wish I had pictures of it. They were supposed to send pictures to my agent and never did. Because you also can't take pictures on film sets. So I get this done and I am feeling so happy. I am feeling buzzed. It's great. Now I don't get to go back to the food. They offer to bring me stuff, but I don't get to go back to the food truck again. They have it. We have to stay in our trailers. Because Mila Jovovich's trailer was in the same area, the star of the movie. And her, I think, daughter was on set with her. And her daughter was young and did not like the zombies. So we had to hide from her daughter. And that was fine. I get that. I don't mind that. I am having the time of my life. I am a full-on walking corpse. Little disabled walking corpse. It's wonderful. It's great. A couple hours later, waiting around, I get called to set with the two or three other hero zombies that had been chosen that are also all made up. I am happy I'm going to be a fucking zombie in a fucking zombie movie, and I'm not just covered in gray paint. I look like a bad motherfucking disabled living dead corpse. It's wonderful. This is my moment. Get to set. We were supposed to be waterlogged zombies. I did not know what that meant until that day. So they do a little, they look at us and that, and then they take us to a little off area, a little waiting area, and they're like, okay, we got to get these guys. No, they brought us to set, and they're like, okay, we got to get these guys waterlogged. So they come up with these sprayers, like they would use, like if you were like spraying dandelions to kill them, like those pressurized sprayer can things, and they start to get us wet. But it's film wet, not water wet. See, because water wet would drip. Water wet, just spraying water on us, water would drip, water would get everywhere, water would remain uneven, and water would dry, and you would have to reapply it. No. Now, I don't know exactly what this stuff is. I should have researched it beforehand. But basically, it is something in between gelatin and watered down sexual lubricant that sprays on. It's not super slippery, but it never dries. It never dries. So, and they're spraying it on, and I'm wearing a fairly layered clothing to begin with. And they're spraying it on me, and I can feel myself gaining weight. So I am probably 10 pounds heavier than when I started. And I'm full of Kraft truck food because I'm finally able to eat on set. So this is happening. They're like, okay, we're going to do a rehearsal. This is where the disability comes in for the first time ever. It's like, okay, we need you. You're going to be fast-moving zombies. Fuck. I am not fast moving. I can move fast, but not fast moving the way they're going to want. So we do a couple rehearsals and they're like, okay, just go back for a second. They take us back to the little holding area they have. We are all soaking wet, not soaking wet, but like wet with this weird jelly, goopy, goo, sex, lube type stuff that does not dry. And we're waiting, and they're waiting, like, okay, Wes, we don't think we're going to use you. I'm like, okay, can I go, if you're not going to use me, can I go to the trailer and get into this stuff? Like, no, because we're not sure that we're not going to use you. So we want you to just stay here and chill out for a while. Okay, well, that's easy, because I am soaked to the skin in watered down sexual lubricant. I don't think that's actually what it was, but it's the easiest way, it's the easiest descriptor I can give you. Watered down sexual lubricant. I am lubed to the gills. Like, we don't know if we're going to use you, but we just need you to wait here. So they bring in a bunch of heaters and put the heaters on me to keep me warm. Well, I am covered in sexual lubricant. An hour and a half goes by. They don't need me. I don't get my big zombie moment. I get a slightly bigger paycheck that day. And they're like, okay, Wes, you can go back to your trailer, get your stuff, then go to makeup, get the makeup off. And that was it. They gave me a trailer. They gave me great food. And then they, you know, gave me hero makeup. Then they made me wet and miserable for almost 2 hours, and I didn't even get on camera for that. And the only damn time you see me in that movie after 9 days of filming, food poisoning, cater fights, near hypothermia from lubrication, is 2 seconds when Mila Jovovich is shooting her way through a crowd of zombies. You'll see a little rubber-masked zombie with dreadlocks and a big bone bead in the dreads lurching towards her in the crowd of zombies. That's me. But I suppose I should count myself lucky, because one woman tripped on set one day and smashed out her front teeth. And I wish that was the only injury on a Resident Evil set. On another Resident Evil filming, same director, same lead actress, Resident Evil Retribution, 16 background actors dressed as zombies fell from a collapsing high-wheeled platform, and 12 were taken to the hospital with leg, back, and arm wounds. I did not work that movie. I was kind of done with Resident Evil at that point. A South African crew member named Ricardo Cornelius died from injuries suffered on set when a Humvee slid off a rotating platform, pinning him against a wall and crushing his lungs. And another crew member was injured by a plastic boulder and a torn ligament, spending 6 weeks on crutches, never returning to work. And the big one. And I'm sure there's more. And this is all according to an article in The Hollywood Reporter, written by Scott Johnson in 2019. The big one. Stunt woman Olivia Jackson nearly died on the set of Resident Evil The Final Chapter and ended up losing an arm. These are not even good movies. I want to stress that. These are not that anyone should ever have to die on a set for a film or be injured on set for a film, not even for something like Oppenheimer or the Barbie movie. But these are not good movies. I want to stress that. People were disabled. This movie brought people to disabled land. This movie killed people. This movie franchise has disabled and killed people. And it's not even a good franchise. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I didn't always feel entirely safe on set. I felt like I was ending up in a crush of people on set. I felt like I risked walking through fire on set. And none of this is stuff that I would do now. I fully admit, I do stuff on sets that I probably shouldn't quite a bit because I enjoy being on set. But a set like Resident Evil was different, because a set like Resident Evil isn't just dangerous for me. Sometimes I do things I shouldn't do just because Abels can do them. But I've also never had a problem on set with telling someone, hey, I can't do this thing this way, but it also wouldn't make sense for a disabled person to do it this way. It's much more likely in this situation I would do this. And 99% time they're cool with it, or they're like, okay, just sit this one out and we'll use you in another scene. There are a lot of times I see, you know, why aren't there more disabled people on set? And I don't know the answer, because I literally have never had a problem. Being on background is one of the few jobs I've ever had where my disability has never gotten in the way. Now, I don't rarely use a mobility aid. The only times I use a cane on set is when I know it might be a high energy thing, and I use it more to force me to slow down so that I don't do something high energy and crazy on one take that I then have to do again and again and again, because I learned my lesson on another movie that we'll talk about one day about that. But nobody should die for this crap. No one should get injured for this crap. And I hope the people that did die, the families of the people who died, and the people who were injured, I hope they get a lot of money, because like we said, this franchise, this one movie made $300 million worldwide. And I'm sure the rest did pretty good for themselves too, or they wouldn't keep making these garbage movies. But I have talked about Golden Girl gilfs and zombie stories for long enough today, I think. I think it might be time to hit the music, to drop the outros. This has been West of Disabled Land, and this has been Disabled Land on the Bitching and Bollocking Podcast Network. You can find me at Wes_of_DisabledLand on Instagram, and as Wes of Disabled Land on TikTok, if I'm ever there. I'm rarely ever there. You can find the Mother Podcast, Bitching and Bollocking with Courtney and Brittany, at Bitching_and_Bollocking on Instagram and TikTok as well, as I believe that is the handle there. You can check out Bitching and Bollocking at threadless.com for their merch. And if you would like to support disabled children being included at recess, the Recess Project is building inclusive school playgrounds for disabled children. They are a wonderful nonprofit, and you can follow them at therecessproject.org, or if you just search The Recess Project on the socials, with the exception of TwitX, or whatever it's called now, you'll find them there. I have been West of Disabled Land. This has been Disabled Land. If you were out there, a disabled person on the planet of the Ables, just stay alive. Because disabled existence is resistance. Disabled Land out.